The Drive is brought to you on demand by Assignar Construction Operations Software. Visit keepbuilding.com for a free demonstration and see how much your business can save.
It's Training Camp 50-50, Teddy versus Drew, powered by Old Chicago Pizza and Tap Room. Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents Football at 4. Here's The Drive with Tyler Palumbus and D-Mac.
Let's just start with Teddy versus Drew, Tyler, and we can go from there, and we'll hear from Graham Glasgow. What did you think, Teddy versus Drew today?
Oh, Teddy won the day, for sure. I was out there on Saturday. Drew Locke definitely won the day on Saturday. On Saturday, I'll back up, just kind of go in reverse order, because I know a lot of people did not have the opportunity to go out to practice on Saturday. It was an invite-only deal, and Teddy Bridgewater had two interceptions. It was counted as three, although that was changed today by based off some people that were in the know, said that Kareem Jackson's second interception was actually at the ground. Doesn't matter. Bad day for Teddy Bridgewater on Saturday. Drew Locke won by default. Drew did not look particularly well on Saturday, and I think that you said you heard similar reports from Mike Kliss and others that Drew didn't necessarily look great on Saturday. Teddy Bridgewater just looked bad, right?
That's what Mike told me today. Yeah, Saturday was interesting. It's very limited in terms of COVID is still an issue to a degree in terms of press accessibility and where you can be and blah, 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 blah. So Saturday was interesting because I think it was Nate Jackson and John Davis had our two credentials. But then it was a private practice.
It was.
Invite only. I think all the state champion football teams were out there and a bunch of UC Health people were there. But you were there because you were doing the Steve Atwater show on
Correct.
Facebook. Is that
yes,
right?
Yes, yes, yes. So that was great. I was glad I got to go. I've been at every practice so far.
That's awesome.
And, you know, it was a weird day. It felt like one of those days like, oh man, this is what we got. No matter who was really in there, nobody looked good. Teddy just looked worse. It was one of those days that Drew won by default. And Teddy had one of those days that it will take him some time to recover from. Okay. Well, very similar to when Drew Locke had a bad performance. What day was that? Day three, I believe it was, where he didn't complete a pass until the final period. Drew came out the next day, lights out, played really good football. Today, Teddy Bridgewater came out, lights out. This was the best mix of Teddy Bridgewater that we've seen yet today was. Teddy was throwing the ball down the field. He had four completions that were 18 yards or further, including the first pass of the day, which was probably a 40-yard bomb to Deontay Spencer, 45 yards maybe. That was in the first team period. He had a 25-yard go route to Jerry Jeudy. He went for a touchdown. That was in 7-on-7. Both guys had an interception, so not good. We got to get rid of the interceptions. They both came in 7-on-7, for whatever that means. Drew Locke had a lot of balls that were just incomplete today, and he did not have the wow moment, so it was almost flipped. Teddy Bridgewater today not only had the consistency, but he had the wow plays. He had four of them, four bombs that were down the field. You could tell that Teddy Bridgewater was intentionally trying to be more aggressive, whereas in days past, you would say, okay, well, Teddy completed passes. It just was boring. You couldn't say that today. Today, Teddy Bridgewater was throwing the ball down the field.
Yeah, Fangio said that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, I remember, you know, we played him fairly late in the season. I don't remember what game it was, 12 or so. And, you know, so I saw all his games up to that point. Yeah, he can push the ball.
Well, I don't think it was any coincidence. I think Teddy is aware of it. I don't think he even had to be told, hey man, you may want to push. I don't think he needed that at all. I think he's quite aware of the things being said about him. I talked to James Palmer today, and James just like flat out asked him about it basically on Saturday. They were doing that live look into all the family day or whatever it was on the NFL. And James told me that was, you know, one of the questions that he asked him about. So I think Teddy Tyler is completely aware that at some point he needs to show that he can be aggressive. And he did it today.
Yeah.
He did do it today.
He did do it today. But I would say for both of these guys, be careful trying to be something that you're not. For Drew Locke, you're not the consistent guy. You're not the guy that's going to check it down all the time. You do need to take the shot plays, and you do need to remind the coaches on a consistent basis that I've got the arm strength that is different than Teddy Bridgewater. So for Drew Locke to go out there and every day try to just be some sort of check down Charlie, that's a mistake for him because you're more exciting than that. And Teddy Bridgewater, although it worked out well today, in the long run, who he was today is not who he is on a normal any given day, right? Most of the time, he's going to check down the ball more. Look, you're going to win this job probably based off of philosophy, whoever wins the job. So for one of them to try to be like the other, probably not smart in the long run because you've got different skill sets and you bring different things to the table. These coaches probably already know what philosophy they want to go towards, and I doubt that either one of them is going to change somebody's mind. Like, Teddy Bridgewater is not going to change the coach's mind based off a couple practices that he's going to be some aggressive down-the-field thrower. Nor is Drew Locke going to change the coach's minds and a few coaches by saying, hey, I'm check down Charlie and I'm going to manage the down and distance. They're not going to believe that.
Well, here was, you know, where's that separation?
Yeah, still even, Steven. There's been no separation. And we're going to kind of keep the rotation these next 3 days the same as it's been.
You don't believe that, do you?
I do not. No, there's definitely separation right now. It's just a matter of what philosophy do you want. So if Drew Locke ends up winning this job, I have no idea why they ever opened it up at all, because you knew darn well that if we're going to base this off of practice, Teddy Bridgewater is going to look better in practice. He just is. He's more consistent. He's going to manage the down and distance, and he's going to keep the chains moving at a rate that your offensive coordinator is going to like. But Drew Locke could still easily win the job because of the upside that is there and because it's more exciting. If Drew Locke wins the job, knowing that Teddy's going to have more days where he wins in the win-loss column, you would look back on it and you would say, what the heck were we doing and why in the world did we open this up? So either way, you could almost look at it and say, move forward with Teddy or move forward with Drew, because it's probably going to come down to simple philosophy.
I'm laughing about, I mean, it is kind of a joke at this point. I'm happy to play along if they want to do this. If he seriously wants to say, there's no separation day after day after day, then we'll just ask him about it day after day after day. But it's a joke. There's a clear separation as to who these two guys are. It's not even close. We know everything we need to know about these two quarterbacks. It's up to you, Denver Broncos, to pick whatever quarterback offensive philosophy you want to go with. But so, the evidence is clear as day who these two guys are.
Oh, without a doubt. We know who they are. And each quarterback has had a really bad day now. Drew Locke's day, you could argue, was not as bad as Teddy Bridgewater's day, because Drew Locke didn't have the three interceptions or the two interceptions that went with Teddy Bridgewater's day. I would say that both days were bad. Teddy Bridgewater's day was worse. Okay, if we took both of those days and we tossed them out and we just said those were outliers and you evaluated it off the days that they were closer, D-Mac, would you say that it's even close who's had more better days?
Well, it's Teddy Bridgewater.
Okay.
This is silly, though. Because if they were the same type of quarterback, Tyler, then I'd be fine with whatever the competition is. They're clearly two very different types of quarterbacks. And they just continue every day to prove they're different types of quarterbacks.
This is why I never wanted Teddy Bridgewater from the get-go. And I get accused all the time of just being this huge Teddy supporter that I hate Drew Locke. If you think back on our show, I said publicly, not only on our show, I put it on Twitter, you can go find it on my timeline. When we were in negotiations with Teddy Bridgewater, I said, I don't want any part of that. Because if you bring Teddy in, he will look better than Drew Locke. He will. Plain and simple. It's like putting Trevor Siemian up against Paxton Lynch. He's going to look better. And in the long run, of course, I agree with you that the team has got the best future if Drew Locke wins the job. But when he's going head-to-head with Teddy Bridgewater day-to-day, he's not going to look better. This is why I didn't want to bring Teddy into town. So although I'm getting accused of being this Teddy supporter and this Drew hater, I'm calling it like it is every single day. I told you from the get-go I didn't want Teddy coming here because he was going to look better.
Okay.
As crazy as that sounds.
We'll hear from Graham Glasgow, your reaction on the text line as well. This is The Drive on the Fan.
Hey guys, Tyler Palumbis here to tell you about my new friends at Assignar. Colorado contractors get paid faster and save big time money with Assignar managing their construction operations. From instant crew and equipment scheduling to digital time tracking and forms, contractors using Assignar are averaging $30,000 per year in savings. Collect data from the field to make informed decisions from the office with Assignar platform and mobile app. Go to keepbuilding.com to request your free demonstration of Assignar and see how much your business can save.
It's Training Camp 50-50, Teddy versus Drew, powered by Old Chicago Pizza and Taproom. Here's the Drive with Tyler Columbus and D-Mac.
Hey, quick Olympic thing. Spoiler alert. Well, maybe not a spoiler alert. Canada, U.S. is on, I mean, spoiler alert enough, I guess. I don't want to be yelled at. Do you know what happened in this game, Tyler? This game's already over. You know what happened, U.S. versus Canada women?
We lost.
I don't know.
I mean, you asked.
If you don't know, you don't know.
We lost.
Wait, do you know or not know? Or are you guessing?
The way you're setting it up is making me feel like we lost. No, I do not know, but okay. The way you've set it up makes me feel like we lost.
All right, well, I'm not going to say anything because you don't know.
Well, see, now I just kind of want to know. I mean, am I right? See, I know I'm right because you didn't fight the fact that I said that. All you were fighting was, did I actually know that I was right
Did I say spoiler alert enough? I did?
Yeah.
I think so?
Yeah.
Yeah, we lost.
Why'd you bring it up unless you wanted me to guess?
Well, I guess it's the first time they've lost to Canada in like something like 30 straight matches in 20 years. Mm. And that knocks the U.S. out of a gold medal.
Boo!
Yeah. Did you hear Biles is coming back?
I thought she was out.
I thought
she was done. She's coming back?
Well, they do three things in gymnastics. They do the team competition.
Right.
They do the all-around, and they do the individual apparatus. And there's four apparatuses.
Okay.
There's beam, floor exercise, vaults, and uneven parallel bars. And she's coming back to do beam.
Okay.
She dropped out of floor and whatever else, but she's coming back to do beam, I think, tomorrow.
Interesting. I don't know what makes that particular event more mentally available for it than more than the other, but okay.
Got me. And I heard tonight, too, there's a transgender female in the super heavyweight division of weightlifting on the women's side of things.
All right.
And there you go. That's your Olympic update for the day. Hope that you enjoyed it. Have you watched any Olympics already? Thank you. Thank you again.
No, we've been watching a lot of Olympics. Over the weekend, we didn't watch as much just because we had a ton going on. But I have been watching Olympics just about every single day. I watched the three Jamaican women win the 100 the other night. That was incredible. Mm-hmm. I mean, those ladies were all flying. Pretty amazing to think that you got three women from one island that won it. Fastest women in the world.
How about a dude from Italy winning the 100-meter dash?
I know.
How about that? Good for them. How about that's right. I want to ask you about this real quick. The tie in the high jump where they were tied and instead of doing a jump off, they both agreed to share the gold medal.
That is so scared. That is so pathetic. Like, what are you talking about? You're telling me you had an opportunity to go to a playoff to go win a stinking gold medal. And you're like, oh, let's call it truce right now. Neither one of us thought we were going to get this far. So, let's just split this gold medal right smack dab
so
in
not,
half.
So not great sportsmanship, anything
great
like that.
Great sportsmanship? That's pathetic. That's weak. What are you talking about? You've got an opportunity to go win a Super Bowl, or are you just going to be like, hey, let's just call it good right now? We don't want to play. We don't want to finish the game out. It's all tied at the end of the fourth quarter. We don't want to figure out who won.
They chose not to compete for the gold.
What happened to the country pride also? Huh? I mean, isn't that sort of like turning your back on your country a little bit?
Italy and Qatar.
Huh?
Yeah, I don't know. I've never seen anything like it. I didn't even know that was...
So they had the opportunity to go to playoffs,
yes.
and they didn't do it.
The judge said you can choose, and they both kind of were like, all right, we'll take it. We'll take the gold right now. Both
That's
of
pathetic.
Us.
Pathetic. Weak.
I didn't even know that was an option.
No.
All right.
Weak sauce.
Graham Glasgow.
Goodness, that wasn't an American.
No, it was Italian and a guy from Qatar.
I'd have beef with that American if an American did that.
Graham Glasgow. What kind of player is Graham Glasgow?
Graham Glasgow is a good offensive lineman, not a great offensive lineman. Graham Glasgow is overpaid, but he is still an effective player. Graham is going to give up a handful of plays throughout the year that you're going to look at him and you're going to be like, oh, man, that's what we're paying him all that money for that. But offensive line's a weird position because it's not about like highlight reels. It's a got man job. And did you keep your man off the quarterback enough or not? Did you keep your man off the running back enough or not? And if you keep your man off of it, it's a got man job. most of the time he gets his job done. Graham Glasgow is probably probably a year away from being replaced. He's got a lot of money that is guaranteed to him this year, which means he's going to be a starter. He's going to be a leader in that offensive line room. But I would be shocked if he is still starting for the Broncos in a year's time based off the level of play that we've gotten out of him and the salary that's going to come in an unguaranteed year.
Here's what he said about this year and last year.
What it just comes down to, a lot of it, just particularly on the offensive line side of things, is being comfortable with the guys that you're playing next to. And, I mean, I don't know if you guys remember how we looked when we first had our first few practices last year. I think that our offensive line and our offense in general looks night and day compared to what it looks to last year around this time. So I think that we're taking the strides to be a good team.
Agree or disagree?
I agree. I think the offense has looked way better than it did last year, especially day one, day two, when you came out the gates against a defense like ours is supposed to be. And that's always a little bit concerning, right? When you've got a training camp going on and one side looks good, one side does not, that's concerning. So day one, when the offense comes out clicking, it's not supposed to be that way. Offense takes time. Defense is supposed to dominate over the first couple days. I think as training camp has progressed, you've seen this defense is dang good. But I also feel better about the offense, generally speaking, than I thought I would. I feel better about both quarterbacks than I thought that I would as well. Mm. I mean, honestly, although I don't think there is clear separation between the two quarterbacks, I could see either one of those guys going out there. And if everything is perfect, if you've got a top five defense that is around them, you've got an opportunity to win 9 games. If everything goes great, maybe you get that 10th game out of there. You sneak into the playoffs. It's going to take better quarterback play to get more than that. But I think that the defense looks good. Offensive line looks healthy. Offensive line looks good. Garrett Bowles looks great. It'll be fascinating to see who wins the starting right tackle job. I think that'll be Bobby Massey. And if Bobby Massey wins it, I look at this offensive line and I say this should be the best offensive line you've had in 7 years.
Here was this might go under the heading big deal or not a big deal. But Graham Glasgow actually said a specific difference between Teddy Bridgewater and Drew Lock. Every other guy that's been asked a question kind of like it is like, oh, you know, it's not up to me, it's the coaches, you know, we like both guys, you know, that sort of thing. But here's what Glasgow said.
It seems to me like Teddy's a little bit more thorough in the huddle.
Oh,
he's getting everybody on the same page, and that's great. You know, we get the snap count like 3 times, which is awesome. Sometimes you forget. You know, you ask the guy next to you, like, hey, what's the snap count? I usually remember, which is great. But other than that, I mean, I think that they're pretty similar. I think they both command the huddle well. Just looking forward to seeing how that all shakes out here throughout camp.
Big deal or not a big deal?
It's something. You know, these players are getting asked every single day for comparisons between the two quarterbacks. And up until now, I think that is the very first response right that we've gotten that separated the two guys. Drew does a lot of good stuff. Teddy does a lot of good stuff.
Right.
It's a small detail. It's not talking about performance. It's not talking about athleticism. It's not talking about wins and losses. But it does tell you something about respect of their leaders. And clearly, Graham Glasgow looks at Teddy Bridgewater like, you've got it together.
Yeah, we were all kind of like, whoa.
And thus that implies that you look at Drew and you think, oh, maybe you don't have it all together.
Right. Okay, so maybe it does matter.
Oh, I think it's something. I don't think it's a lot, but I think it's something.
Okay. All right, well, more of your reaction on the text line. And we have some big breaking news about the Nuggets, by the way. Huge breaking news about the Nuggets. And more of your reaction to the Teddy versus Drew from today. Hey, looks like it was Teddy's
day. You know what they're
going
to do?
What's that?
They're going to split it. They're just going to say, hey, I don't want to be the starting quarterback. You know what? Let's just share the responsibilities of being the starting quarterback. Let's go co-start Drew. Drew, you cool with that?
Yeah.
Teddy, you cool?
Are they going to jump? Cool? Are they going to jump up and down in each other's arms?
Well, we can hold each other's arms up on the podium. We shared victory here. Co-starters, let's go.
That was one of the weirder things I've ever seen in the Olympics. It's like, I don't even know how to explain it. It was so bizarre.
I don't really want to win. Do you want to win? I don't want to win.
Lord almighty. All right, we'll get to all of it coming up next.
It's Training Camp 50-50, Teddy versus Drew, powered by Old Chicago Pizza and Tap Room. Here's The Drive with Tyler Columbus and D-Mac.
I just want to say, Dad of the Year, LeVar Ball.
Oh,
Lonzo Ball in a sign and trade deal, 4 years, $85 million. You got me on that? Lonzo Ball just did a deal, sign and trade, $85 million for 4 years, LeVar Ball, dad of the year.
I thought Lonzo Ball hated his dad now. I thought they were not buddies anymore. Now are they still in cahoots? Are they still working together?
I don't care. Whatever he did to get that kid up to right. basketball shape, his kid just signed a deal worth 4 years, $85 million.
There you go.
Dad of the year.
What was the big baller brand? There you go.
Big baller.
Some big baller stuff right there.
Golly, man.
Big baller kids.
Was it all worth it?
Well,
was it all worth it with Lonzo Ball?
Is it all worth it if your sons hate your guts and they never want to talk to you again and they got a tattoo removed of your brand? Was it worth it?
I don't know. Is it?
Probably not. No, I mean, if it comes at the cost of your relationship, no.
Two of the three kids are wildly wealthy beyond their wildest dreams because you, the dad, pushed them.
Okay. There's a lot of assumptions in there, but okay.
That's crazy, man. Well, good for Lonzo Ball. Before we go any further, what's up with Pedal with Plumbus? Where are we at? What's new? What's grooving there?
Pedal with Plumbus is doing great. Appreciate you guys. Love you guys. We are just raising money left and right. Pedal with Plumbus to beat ovarian cancer will be going on September 25th. We will be starting the race, a 50-mile ride. Not a race. It's a 50-mile ride from UC Health Center, Broncos practice facility. We will be finishing it there as well. Have a nice little after party there at the Broncos facility. So grateful to the Broncos for allowing me to use the facilities. We've got a very limited sample size or grouping this year, capacity. It has been selling very, very quickly. You guys have been so tremendously generous with your money. And I tell you what, we are on pace to hopefully double what we raised last year. That looks like the goal that we're after right now. My mom battled a 6-year battle with stage 4 ovarian cancer. Unfortunately, we lost her a little bit over a year ago. And it is just a brutal disease that doesn't have to be that way. And so we're trying to save some lives. We're trying to raise awareness for ovarian cancer so that it's not the silent killer that it is, so that women know the signs and symptoms. And I love you guys, man. I cannot believe the support that we're getting. We do have spots left. Not a ton of them, but would love to have you guys join and be a part of this ride. DMAC will be out there. I know the whole gang will be out there. And if you guys would like to be a part of it, you can go to denverfan.com/pedal. I do encourage you to get signed up quickly because, like I said, there is a limited capacity this year. And we sold out the VIPs. However, there's a lot of cool stuff left. And for $250, you can be a part of the ride. But you know what? Even if you don't want to ride, if you got $5, $10, $20, you could still make a huge difference and save lives by going to denverfan.com/pedal. And there's various entry spots as well. If you want to donate $100 and you don't want to ride, you're still going to get a cool t-shirt. If you do this full 250, you get a great custom cycling jersey, all kinds of great stuff. It's going to be a great time. I hope you guys will join me, be a part of it. You can go to denverfan.com/pedal. Help me honor my mom and help me save lives. And so many of you guys, by the way, are starting to reach out with stories of how you and your family have been impacted by ovarian cancer. I love hearing those stories. So if you've signed up, please let me know on the text line. Tell me your name. And if you have personally been impacted, I want to hear that as well. So love you guys. DenverFan.com.
All right. The fan, the Drives Analysis of Training Camp 5050, Teddy vs. Drew, is powered by Old Chicago Pizza and Taproom. Got a ride in today.
Good for you. It's tough to get the rides in right now. The schedule's kind of tough to get the workout in right now. Good for you.
Yeah, I'm just like, can I just go like a bat out of hell? How hard can I, for sure, because like, you don't have as much time.
Right.
So just.
Got practice in the morning, got a little break in there in between. You got it in after practice?
No,
before practice. All right, that a boy. You got to wake up early. That's unlike
you. I'm telling you, man. Oh, I'm like.
If I text you before 8:30 a.m., I'm pretty nervous that I'm doing something wrong.
Not now. I'm up like friggin'. I hear the beginning of Mike and Mark's show.
Wow,
they are really on. I'm like, that is on the radio at this time.
You know who was in practice today?
Who was it?
Mike Evans was at practice.
Was he?
He was. Well, I think he claims that he's been there every day just hanging out in other parts, hanging out with the fellas.
He's got the special access to that media area up top there. It's not with the fellas. It's like, I really don't know what's going on up there. I'll be out there tomorrow.
I had that spot today, so maybe that was why he was down with the fellas. I had that spot today, but I still went down with the fellas because it's better anyways. It's better down with the fellas.
Well, I'll be with the fellas. Well, Stokely's going to be the man on the scene, the reporter, and I know he's all
been asking everybody, you know, what kind of question should I get in? You know, I'm going to get a question in. What do you guys want me to ask? What I told him to do?
You get like two or three questions. He's, you know, it's not like some sort of sit down expose.
I'm like a really good partner down there in the trenches, down in the foxhole with you. So yeah. You know what I told him to do?
What's that?
I told him to definitely get your name in the question and blame you
that
for whatever question he's going to ask.
I would love that. I would absolutely love Stokely trying to throw me under the bus.
Yes. I think he should do it. I mean, this is your opportunity, man.
If he were to say to Vic Fangio, Vic, I know you are bothered by D-Mac asking you about quarterbacks every single day, so I'm not going to go there and then, you know, ask something about quarterbacks.
Coach, D-Mac said that you haven't seen the quarterbacks at all during practice, and so I'm just curious if D-Mac's right or not. Do you actually watch the quarterbacks during practice?
That'd be awesome. I think Stokely is kind of right on that a little bit. I don't know how much he's really... I think he's trying to pay attention to the quarterbacks. I think he just, you know, falls into his old habits about, you know, watching the defense.
I think Stokely's right for sure, but I don't think that Vic Fangio is unique in that as a head coach. Almost every head coach has got a side that they prefer, and they all grew up either as an offensive coordinator or as a defensive coordinator.
Yeah.
And many coaches nowadays are still calling plays for their particular side of the ball. I know that Mike Shanahan, he hung out with the offense all the time.
Yep.
Pete Carroll hung out with the defense all the time.
Kubiak was with the offense. He would always stand like 10 yards behind the offense at all times.
What Fangio is doing is not, it would be weird if he saw the quarterbacks, because not only is he the head coach, but he's your play caller. He's calling the plays on defense. Like, he's got a job to be doing during practice, and it's really not until post practice that he gets an opportunity to evaluate the quarterbacks.
Well, that's right, and that's why
I don't think that's a shot on him.
I don't think so either, actually. I don't know what else he's supposed to do. But you know what he did say? He needs time to go back and look at it on film. So, I mean, today, for example, I thought it was fair enough to say...
Day off, how did you guys feel on evaluations of quarterbacks and the coaches?
See, I said with the day off, because he said it. He said with the, you know, that's what we'll do in the day off. We'll look at everything in total. We'll look back on film and look at it everything.
Yeah.
So, okay, I wasn't asking him about today. Because he said he can't look at it on the day. He goes back and watches.
Yeah, he can't. He's coaching the defense.
So fair enough. I mean, I'm going with you. So what about looking back on things?
Looking at the first quarter.
Yeah, still even, Steven. There's been no separation. And we're going to kind of keep the rotation these next 3 days the same as it's been.
I don't know what to say if you say there's still no separation.
Here's to hoping that Minnesota is the deciding week.
All right.
And maybe it should be. You've got an opportunity to go out in Minnesota and get multiple days of practice in with another team. You've got a preseason football game. Okay. After that week, you notice he did say for the next 3 or 4 days. He didn't commit long term out to this. I'm hoping after the Minnesota week, we're able to name a starter.
By the way, I'm just looking for it because I don't know if you've heard the problems in Minnesota. Three of their quarterbacks are in COVID protocol.
I have, yes.
And I think they just signed a new guy today, I believe, because they were worried about not having enough quarterbacks to practice with.
Chad Kelly's out there campaigning on Twitter.
Oh, okay. Who's it, Kevin? Danny Etling. Boy, Chad Kelly would make a lot of sense. I mean, they don't have enough guys to just run a practice right now.
He's on a rant. I'll do it quick. Chad Kelly rant on Twitter. One thing that can be confirmed is I stayed after every practice, every single day since ninth grade to my most recent NFL practice. I outworked every single person, and it ain't even close, including the lady that hit me with the vacuum tube. I said every day. No, he didn't say the vacuum tube part. I added that in there.
Right.
I just wanted to ball. I grew up in a blue-collar family built on hard work and determination. Kids, don't let another person ever tell you that you can't. You can do anything as long as you put in the work. When they say 6 reps, you do 8. You go above and beyond. That's what separates you on the field. And what you do at night does not matter. If you get whipped by a vacuum tube, that doesn't count because I stayed after and I got extra reps in.
You got a friend in me.
Well, good luck to Chad Kelly. I'm sorry, who? Case Cookus?
Correct.
Who the hell is Case Cookus? Is that a joke?
Nope.
The guy's name is Case Cookus? So hold on, Chad Kelly is not getting a chance and some dude named Case Cookus is signed? Wow.
Well, he's probably never been whipped by a vacuum tube.
Jamichael Green, 2 years, $17 million. Will Barton, 2 years, Tyler, $32 million.
Gosh, NBA, man.
Wow.
Unbelievable.
Wow, wow, wow.
That dude got what he wanted, huh? He said he wants to be a starter. He's getting that starter money.
That is awesome.
Although that's kind of like six-man money in NBA, isn't
it? That's crazy. Woof. All right, Pat Surtain, we'll talk about him. He had a nice moment, kind of a bad moment, too. Also, we will hear Teddy or Drew today, the latest and greatest next.
It's Training Camp 50-50, Teddy versus Drew, powered by Old Chicago Pizza and Taproom. Here's The Drive with Tyler Columbus and D-Mac.
Our guy Mike Kliss joins us in just a little bit. We look forward to having him on. Richie just came in. Chris Paul, who turned down a $44 million option, we just found out signed 4 years, $120 million.
Oh,
36 years old.
That is unbelievable.
4 years, 120. What's his career?
So he turned down the $44 million option, and he turned that into 120 or whatever it is?
Yeah.
Good for him, and number one. At 37 years old, he is still collecting $120 million. Gosh, basketball money is just insane.
We'll get to Pat Surtain in just a little bit, but we get to Mike Kliss, our 9 News Broncos insider, courtesy of Bet River Sportsbook. Mike, all right, Teddy versus Drew, who won today and why?
Teddy Bridgewater won, and I don't have it being very close. D-Mac, I know you were trying to make it close throughout the day.
I was rooting for it to be close. I thought it was close early.
That's funny the way you say that.
But it was hard to deny. In fact, I'm standing next to Mike, and I'm like, come on now. Come on now, Drew. I mean, there was a little open rooting in the press box, only because at that point, Teddy had, he had pushed himself out front. And, I wanted it to, I want it to be a close battle, I guess. And it wasn't.
I tallied it up there, 14 out of 16 for Bridgewater, and he had, about 4 25-yard passes. He had that going, those out patterns today. And then he hit the big one early, of course, the 50-yard touchdown to Spencer. And Drew, now we're talking just 11 out of 11. I'm not talking the 7 on 7. And then Drew was, I had him at 7 out of 13 with that pick at the end of practice. And so
I had the same numbers, Mike. We're like genius. It's like it actually happened. I feel good about my numbers that you had the same numbers.
Yeah, they're, I think earlier, day one, it was a virtual tie, and then Drew hit that deep out to, I believe it was Judy. It always seems to be Judy. Right at the end of practice, he really hummed it, and that kind of broke the tie, and he got the edge. This time, if it was close, that pick at the end lost it for Drew. So, yeah, guys, I tell you what, I don't know. Saturday was so discouraging, quarterback play. Drew won that day because Bridgewater threw the 3 picks. You wonder how this is all going to turn out, really, a regular season, how good their quarterback play is going to be again.
Mike, I had Teddy with 4 passes of 18 yards or further, and that was the real observation of the day, that he was going down the field. Not only was he going down the field, but he was connecting. It was like the same completion percentage as when he was throwing the 4 to 5 yard dump offs. Do you feel like that was a concentrated effort on Teddy Bridgewater's behalf in order to be more aggressive today?
It could have been. He was with, also for context, He was with the number 2 offense mostly, going against the number 2 defense mostly. And he's probably been around camp enough now to where he knows some defensive backs that are worth picking on, you know. And with the first team defense, you know, Locke was with the number one offense going against the number two defense. That's a tough secondary on that number one defense. You might, Teddy Bridgewater might not have those passes, you know, against Fuller and, you know, and Surtain and Callahan and those guys.
So, wait, hold on. Are you telling me Parnell Motley isn't as good as Fuller, Surtain, or those guys?
Yeah.
He's not. Oh, okay.
Yeah, correct. So, you know, I don't know. That's what's difficult about this, guys. You know, they switch. Sometimes they have the number one offense against the number two defense.
Yep.
And that quarterback really looks good that day, usually. So I don't know how they're going to rate it. You know, Fangio was saying, even Steven, all that, he's got to. He can't tip his hand till it's over. And then, but today, you know, I just thought it was pretty clear that Teddy was the better quarterback.
Hey, how many reps do you think Bradley Chubb got today? I saw his first rep that I noticed was a pass rush against Garrett Bowles, and he got really good pressure against the quarterback. I didn't see many after that, though. Do you have any idea how many in total he got?
No, I was the same thing. I saw him in a little bit the first set of team reps, and that was it. And I think that's probably all he did get. So, you know, first time out there, give it a test, give it a couple reps, couple pass rushes, and get him out of there, you know, and tomorrow's another day.
First time, long time.
Yeah.
How do you think Vic and everybody enjoys being asked about the quarterbacks every single day?
Well, I don't think they like it necessarily, but they should expect it.
Right.
You know, they, you know, this quarterback comp, that's what you get, you know. We go back to 2016 where, when it was pretty heated? I don't think it was pretty heated. That's maybe not the right word when you had Mark Sanchez, Paxton Lynch, and Trevor Siemian.
No.
But every day, you know, it was who was the better quarterback, and it turned out that Siemian was the guy. And Siemian didn't win it until the preseason. And I think we'll look back on this one too, and it'll be about the performances of Locke and Bridgewater in the first two preseason games. With the Rams not playing anybody, I, you know, believe that they should pick one. They should pick their quarterback before the third preseason game and get going here. But you know, you can almost predict what's going to happen in the preseason, right? Yeah. Locke's going to have one real good game.
Mm-hmm.
And one bad game, and Bridgewater's going to be okay both games.
Right.
You know, you can almost predict that's what's going to happen.
All right, Michael, we appreciate anything else you're working on. Anything other nuggets or notes or anything else we should know?
No, just had a little Surtain feature and back up on Twitter today.
Okay, so. Congratulations.
Nice. Yeah, got to get that blue check back, though, Mike. I noticed you didn't get the blue check yet.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you got to get the blue check back.
Well, I didn't know I had one, but I'll try to figure out.
Oh, did you not ever have one? Sorry.
I don't think I... You know, the real Mike Kliss, I mean, really?
So just to let you know, it's at Mike Kliss _. Is that your new...
No, just at Mike Kliss.
Oh, just at Mike Kliss. Oh.
Yeah. Okay. The _ was the temporary one.
Oh, so, okay. All right.
Yeah, so
oh,
back,
gotcha.
I know that's a little confusing. So it's just at Mike Kliss.
Gotcha. So, oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Oh, and all you're right. Back with all your people. Oh, well, then you're right, Tyler. Why doesn't he have the, that's weird. Okay.
Well, you gotta be.
Yeah. I'll try to work on that, guys.
All right, Mike. We'll talk to you. Thanks.
See ya.
Bye. Hey, you got that going? Yeah, why wouldn't you get the, I don't know how that all works.
Going back to Chris Paul here for just a quick second.
Sure.
Chris Paul's career earnings? Take a guess. Wild guess.
$270 million.
Nah, I want you to double that.
No.
Pretty close.
No. Shut up.
$446 million.
Shut up.
Say what? That's his career. If he were to play out the 4-year deal that he just signed,
are you
that
kidding
will be
me?
His career earnings. $446 million.
And he does Allstate commercials?
That's right. Yeah. Yeah.
Why?
Yeah. Well, because Patrick Mahomes does them. No? Does he do Allstate?
No, he does. No, wait. Yeah. Wait. Yeah.
State Farm.
Yeah.
Competitor.
That is mind-blowing.
Right. Basketball. I wonder what the...
It's mind-boggling.
Wow.
I wonder who's made the most money in NFL history. There's a fun one, Richie. Come on, give it to me. I'm going to want to know that. Do you think it's half of
Omaha!
That?
Hey, I got one for you. Who do you think is shorter than Chris Paul, who's made more money than him ever as an athlete?
Oh, I was going to say Justin Bieber.
But as an athlete.
I mean, Justin plays in the All-Star games and stuff. Does he count?
No, he does not count.
As an athlete.
Who do you think shorter than Chris Paul has made more money than him?
I don't know.
As a pro athlete. Because I bet Tiger's taller than Chris Paul.
You might have it. I don't know. I can't think of anyone.
Is he the greatest?
I'm trying to think about some tennis players or something. Even tennis players are taller than him. Floyd Mayweather.
Good one, Kevin.
Yep.
Good one. Mayweather. There you go.
Really? Drew Brees has the most? What is it?
$269.7 million, according to Business Insider, which is almost $7 million more than Tom Brady right now, but obviously Brady's still active.
What's paid that?
I don't know why that's so surprising to me, but I would not think Drew Brees would be the highest in NFL history.
Peyton on this list is listed at fifth at 248.7, just behind his brother Eli at 252.
No way. Eli made more than him?
Wow.
Holy cow.
Wow.
Wow.
A little complex. Wow. Oh, wow.
Take that, Peyton.
How do you like them apples, big brother?
Floyd Mayweather. Okay.
Stuff me in the closet again.
What's career earnings for Floyd Mayweather? Blow us all
goodness.
Away.
He makes $100 million per match.
Right. But if Chris Paul's making, what'd you say, 420?
$446 million.
Oh, my God.
After this new deal that he
Chris
just signed.
Chris Paul, how many championships does he have?
Zero. That's a big fat goose egg.
I guess that could be another question. What athlete has made more money than Chris Paul and has never won a championship?
Wow.
So he may be the highest paid loser of all time.
You know what? That's a title I would take with pride. I would have no problem being the highest paid loser in history. You want to be? That was always a life goal of mine. I wanted to get GM fired. That was a life goal. Like, I want to be the dude that some idiotic GM just gave a stupid amount of money, and we got to fire your butt because you were so dumb that you gave Tyler that contract. Problem is, I couldn't find a dumb GM.
Dreams could come true.
Right.
It's KKFN and Rush. KKFN HD1 Longmont, Denver.
Hey guys, Tyler Palumbus here to tell you about my new friends at Assignar. Colorado contractors get paid faster and save big time money with Assignar managing their construction operations. From instant crew and equipment scheduling to digital time tracking and forms, contractors using Assignar are averaging $30,000 per year in savings. Collect data from the field to make informed decisions from the office with Assignar platform and mobile app. Go to keepbuilding.com to request your free demonstration of Assignar and see how much your business can save.